Hi, this is Yvette Mancina from Search Software Quality, and we are doing a series of podcasts with Matt Heuser, who is a member of the technical staff at Social Text, very active and passionate member of the QA community. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Yvette.
So today's topic is going to be web testing practices to enable agile software delivery. And Matt, you picked this topic, using tests to enable agile. What do you mean by that?
Well, when people talk about agile software development, it's really easy to get excited about all the benefits, right? You say, we're going to deliver software every 2 weeks, and we're going to be able to adjust our plan, and we're going to bring the software up to production quality. But there's another end of that is, how long is your test cycle? So a typical test cycle in a traditional organization could be a month. How are you going to ship every 2 weeks when just the testing process itself takes more than that to do? So when I talk about using testing to enable Agile, I mean what techniques can we plug in to dovetail together to make it possible to release early and release often.
So what are some of the test practices that you'd recommend?
Well, a few I thought we'd talk about today would be automated test execution, story review and kickoff, exploratory testing, story testing, and maybe living on staging.
All right. Well, let's talk about each of those then. We'll start with automated test execution, and maybe for each of these, you can explain to our listeners what exactly this means and what they can do in these areas. So tell us more about automated test execution.
So with testing, we typically talk about automated testing. And you can't really automate all the parts of the testing process, right? There's no computer that goes out and automates your test ideas in most cases. So, and there's no computer that goes and finds a failing test, diagnoses it, breaks it down to what small elements, tiny elements, and then files your bug report automatically. So there's lots of parts of the test process that human beings have to do. But we do find that it's usually possible to automate some portion of the test execution, some things which are very repeatable, very standardized, where we clearly know whether it's a success or failure, whether something went wrong that we didn't expect. That could be having the tool that drives the browser, clicking links, and looking for results. It could be a tool that hits the business logic layer, such as Fitness that runs under the covers of the GUI, which is typically much faster, but will fail to find things like JavaScript errors. Well, it could be test-driven development. Typically, the developers have a pretty good handle on unit testing, so mostly we're talking about tools that customers could understand, testing at the customer level, the traditional tester role. That's what I mean when I say automated test execution. And I think that's part of a balanced breakfast of accelerating your test cycles to be short enough so they can fit in an agile team.
Okay. What about story review and kickoff?
So we're going to slice the requirements into really thin end-to-end slices that make sense to a customer, right? We're going to call those stories. A lot of people are familiar with the idea of story cards. When I say story review, I mean that we're going to create this. It's a document that is a placeholder for a conversation. And it can be, we don't expect it to be comprehensive, but we want it to be at least somewhat well-written. So our product owners create the stories, and our product owners then pass those up to be marked up by developers and testers. So every person that is a step in the chain has to review the document, and it makes sense to me and list any questions we have. Then before the developers ever start writing the code, we have a kickoff meeting where we all get together. The purpose of that kickoff meeting is to create a shared mental model of what is going to be built. That way, when there is a failure down the road, and there will be, when a tester thinks of some test idea in the moment that's really good and finds a really interesting bug, the developer doesn't say, oh, it's not in the requirements. The developer doesn't say, I disagree with you, I think that's fine. Developer doesn't say, we need the future story card. Instead, he says, yeah, you've got a point. We had that meeting. We had this shared understanding of what the software should do. We can't call this done until that's fixed. I'm going to go fix it. So story review and kickoff prevent friction and provide examples for the developers so they know what done means.
Okay. What about exploratory testing and story testing?
So I'm going to pair those two together. As we create the story, we also ask, a social text anyway, we ask our product owners to create examples. User can log in, bad password generates this error message, right? Bad username generates that error message. When they're redirected, it's secure, it goes to an SSL page so that the data, that the password that goes across is encrypted. And they're redirected to this specific page that has their username in the top right. So all of those can be thought of as tests. The more specific you get, the better tests they are. We actually have what is done, what I expect to see, is that correct according to devs, is that correct according to QA. Before developers even review it, there are tests. They're typically confirmatory tests. They're very straightforward. And devs can add more tests, and QA can add more tests. Not comprehensive, but just to have a really good idea of what the stories should do in specific situations. And I think those can be scripted up front. To some extent, you can train product owners and developers to be pretty good at coming up with those confirmatory tests. The problem is that's not the whole picture. There's always going to be that pesky user that comes in and clicks the submit button twice in a row really fast. There's always going to be security or functional weaknesses that you can find, and usually those are best found. Some of your best ideas are found in the moment while you're actually testing the software. So that sort of simultaneous test design and execution, not test-driven, not done up front, but done after the code is at least complete and written, exploratory testing is part of our picture to reduce risk. So I tie those together. Yes, we do story testing at Social Text, and of course we also have to do exploratory testing. Some of those story tests we're going to automate, and they can run every iteration before we release the code to production. Exploratory testing is usually a once-at-a-time thing, unless we know specific new risks.
Okay. Let's talk about the last concept that you mentioned, living on staging. Tell us what that is all about.
Well, depending on the product you have, it might be possible. Functional testing tends to say one person in isolation can do these things. And yeah, we can do performance testing, which tends to say, can the system handle... Can a system handle 35 simultaneous, or 350, or 35,000 simultaneous users doing this kind of thing? But there are often really interesting race events and conditions that happen when you have multiple users. And trying to catch that with functional testing, especially if you have to automate it, can be very, very challenging. But there are whole categories of bugs that you can simply say, well, we've got... we're Microsoft, and we have 50,000 employees, and we're going to have all of our employees use the next version of the software for a month before it goes live. And there are entire categories of bugs that can very easily be found with that kind of an approach, which we call living on staging. At Social Text, we run our business on the next version of the software.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask if that was different from beta testing.
With what I guess you'd call the Web 2.0 technologies, web-based technologies, we have a single server that we work on, and we upgrade that, and the company uses it. And with data testing, there's usually more management. There's more, you've got to identify a list of people to get the software to. You've got to physically ship them CDs. Or you can be like Google, where they just have Gmail be in beta for its first year. So the traditional idea of the beta, where you have a manager who then sends the CDs to people, who then install them in the computer in a corner where it can't do any damage if there's a problem, is very different than saying, we want to have enough confidence for our own company to use the software to run its business. And when your sales guys and your marketing guys all use Internet Explorer, and your devs use Firefox, it gives you a surprisingly high amount of coverage under a different number of browsers. So if you can do it, if you have the kind of problem that that is amenable to, I always encourage running your business on the staging environment as much as you can. You make an email product, then you use your email product. Use the next version of your email product a month before you release it.
Okay. All right. Any parting thoughts for the listener?
Well, when people talk about Agile, there's a couple of common things that happen when we talk about Agile adoption. One is to jump right to the management practices. Iterations and stories and burn down charts and skip all the technical engineering fiddly bits. I like the idea of starting with the risk management practices, because if we can get really good at testing, then doing Agile becomes a whole lot more realistic and probable than trying to do the management practices first and say, oh, those testing guys are slowing us down. So I say, if you're going to do Agile, start with your testing. Because if you do Agile testing, it's just going to be better testing anyway, even if the rest of your organization uses a traditional model. That's just me talking.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Yvette. Thank you.
Bye-bye.